She had no classes to teach, no grants to write, no new research to conduct, no conferences to attend, and no invited lectures to give. Ever again. She felt like the biggest part of herself, the part she'd praised and polished regularly on its mighty pedestal, had died. And the other, smaller, less admired parts of herself wailed with self-pitying grief, wondering how they would matter at all without it. She looked out her enormous office window and watched the joggers as they traced the winding edges of the Charles. "Will you have time for a run today?" she asked. "Maybe," said John. He looked out the window, too, as he drank his coffee. She wondered what he saw, if his eyes were drawn to the same joggers, or if he saw something entirely different. "I wish we had spent more time together," she said. "What do you mean? We just spent the whole summer together." "No, not the summer. Our whole lives. I've been thinking about it, and I wish we'd spent more time together." "Allie, we live together. We work at the same place. We've spent our whole lives together." "In the beginning, they did. They lived their lives together, with each other. But over the years, it had changed. They had allowed it to change." She thought about the sabbaticals apart, the division of labor over the kids, the travel, their singular dedication to work. They'd been living next to each other for a long time. "I think we left each other alone for too long." "I don't feel left alone, Allie. I like our lives. I think it's been a good balance between an independence to pursue our own passions and a life together." She thought about his pursuit of his passion, his research, always more extreme than hers. Even when the experiments failed him, when the data weren't consistent, when the hypotheses turned out to be wrong, his love for his passion never wavered. However flawed, even when it kept him up all night tearing his hair out, he loved it. The time, care, attention, and energy he gave to it had always inspired her to work harder at her own research, and she did. "You're not left alone, Allie. I'm right here with you." He looked at his watch, then downed the rest of his coffee. "I've got to run to class." He picked up his bag, tossed his cup in the trash, and went over to her. He bent down, held her head of curly black hair in his hands, and kissed her gently. She looked up at him and pressed her lips into a thin smile, holding back her tears just long enough for him to leave her office. She wished she had been his passion. She sat in her office while her cognition class met without her and watched the shiny traffic creep along Memorial Drive. She sipped her tea. She had the whole day in front of her with nothing to do. Her hip began to vibrate. It was 8 a.m. She removed her BlackBerry from her baby blue bag. "Alice, answer the following questions. 1. What month is it? 2. Where do you live? 3. Where is your office? 4. When is Anna's birthday? 5. How many children do you have?" If you have trouble answering any of these, go to the file named Butterfly on your computer and follow the instructions there immediately. September, 34 Poplar Street, Cambridge. William James Hall, room 1002. September 14th, 3. She sipped her tea and watched the shiny traffic creep along Memorial Drive.